these revelations.
You can't handle the truth.
This is a conspiracy. This is a conspiracy.
A new world order.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. A little late this morning, it's actually this afternoon now on the East Coast. It is March 25th, 2024. It is Monday, so it's time for the Sunday Review of the Mainstream Media. I'm going to get to a clip from Face the Nation this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about Russia. And what happened in Russia, the terror attack there. So, Russia. ISIS or ISIL and Islamic terror has been a tool of the CIA for decades. And so now we're supposed to believe that ISIS planned an attack in Moscow in the middle of the Ukraine war during a block of by the Republicans in the U.S. for funding for that war. So they're pulling out all the stops with clandestine operations. So this doesn't surprise, shouldn't surprise anybody really. Because the timing is suspect here. And so first we're gonna get to a quick segment from Face the Nation on the subject and then tear into the Sunday New York Times, that the newspaper that continually mischaracterizes the facts to mislead the public. But first, don't forget to engage the channel, like, subscribe, leave a comment, share the podcast. So let's start out, I think, by going to this video here from CBS. Face the Nation first.
Investigators surveying the smoldering wreckage of the aftermath of the weekend massacre near Moscow. On Friday night, armed men in combat fatigues burst into the Crocker City Hall, a popular concert venue, and methodically began shooting the audience before setting the place ablaze. Videos posted on social media show people screaming and ducking for cover as the gunmen fired round after round of automatic gunfire. Someone's shooting here, this man says. The hall is burning. They've set us on fire. Outside, the building was engulfed in flames. Inside, concertgoers tried to escape the relentless gunfire, trapped in a crush of panicked people. Another video shows assailants moving with deadly intent through the complex as they gun people down. The U.S. shared intelligence with Russia, warning that ISIS was planning to strike and advising its citizens to stay away from concert venues. President Vladimir Putin dismissed the U.S. warning as outright blackmail. In a televised address on Saturday after the carnage, Putin told a shocked nation that 11 people had already been arrested in connection with the brazen attack, including four gunmen. The assailants were moving in the direction of Ukraine, Putin claimed, where they had a Russian border crossing prepared from the Ukrainian side.
So there it is. There's that short segment about the terror attack there. Now, yesterday, a little housekeeping. Yesterday, I said the attackers didn't look Islamic. I meant to say that the terrorists didn't look Arab. And it turns out that they're not necessarily Arab. They're Tajik, apparently all from Tajikistan and supposedly from ISIS-K. But Russians are denying that these people are necessarily from ISIS-K. They are from Tajikistan, and the reports that these people were paid about $10,000 a piece to carry out the attack. So it was a mercenary attack. We're not sure exactly who's behind. I would say that the CIA is behind it because the CIA has controlled terror groups, particularly Islamic terror groups, Wahhabis and others, for decades now. When they used Al-Qaeda, really, which was the CIA database for Islamic fighters against the Soviets in Afghanistan. But that now is over. that part of the scenario is over, and now without funding for the Russian war in Ukraine, the war against Russia and Ukraine, they've had to change their tactics a bit using these other terror groups that the CIA has used to sow chaos in nation states all over the world. And Gladio, Operation Gladio works in there too. I'm not going to get digress too much into that, but you can look that up if you want. So I just want to go over really quickly that Face the Nation had a bunch of different guests on. This one person that was speaking for the CIA and the intelligence, for the DHS officials, Vinograd, I thought it was going to be very telling. It wasn't really very telling at all because she didn't say anything. And most of the guests that they had on the Sunday shows really didn't say anything. And a lot of times this is used as a tactic to keep the news less jarring and see. I think there was kind of a wait and see attitude how particularly the American but Western public digested the terror attack, if they really believed that somehow an Islamic group would carry out a terror attack in Moscow and that it doesn't have anything to do with the Ukrainian war there. So let's move on to some of the other headlines here from the New York Times. Let's tear into the New York Times. Deadly Moscow attack shatters Putin's security promise to Russians. The tragedy outside Moscow is a blow to a leader riding on an aura of confidence only days after a stage-managed election victory. So here is the motivation for the CIA planned attack. His vaunted security apparatus failed to prevent Russia's deadliest terror attack in 20 years. There was one on a school, and that was even farther east. I'm not going to get into that school attack. That was by Chechen terrorists. That was 20 years ago. But the assault on Friday, which killed at least 133 people at a concert hall in suburban Moscow, was a blow to Mr. Putin's aura as a leader for whom national security is paramount. That is especially true after 2 years of a war in Ukraine that he describes key to the Russia's survival and which he cast as a top priority after the election last Sunday. Like I said, that's indicative of trying to undermine Putin's authority. So that was the motive for the attack, if it was indeed launched by Western security services, which I do think it was, because what is the motive for ISIS to attack, particularly what's the motive for the timing now? Moving on to other headlines from the New York Times. In Russia, fingers point anywhere but at ISIS for concert hall attack. Russia state media pushed the idea that Ukraine was the obvious culprit, but at least three of the four suspects charged on Sunday are from the Central Asian nation of Tajikistan, where the CIA has built quite a network in the foreign state, in all the stands, which are Muslim enclaves in the former Soviet republics. Well, like I said, the Western intelligence agencies have had their claws in Islam ever really since the Ottoman, since the British Secret Services, Lawrence of Arabia, teamed up with the Arabs in World War I. So this article goes on to say, President Vladimir Putin has hinted that Ukraine was behind the Friday attack. He stopped short of accusing Kiev directly, but on Sunday, some of his allies showed no such compunction. American officials have said that the attack appeared to be the work of an offshoot of the Islamic State, Special K State, and there is no evidence connecting Kiev to it, but many Russian nationalist commentators and ultra-conservative hawks are pushing the idea that Ukraine is the obvious culprit. You know, to be honest with you, I don't think Ukraine is the obvious culprit. The issue here is whether Western intelligence is the culprit, because it's Western intelligence that is behind Ukraine and the war on Russia in the first place. A nationalist fervor in Ukraine was the Western intelligence is behind that. And this article keeps going on to say the three men told the court that they were from Tajikistan, and according to Russian news outlets, the force fourth suspect is two. The Islamic State has attracted thousands of adherents from countries in Central Asia, including Tajikistan. And I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know how they get that information and that the Islamic State has attracted thousands of adherents from countries in Central Asia, including Tajikistan. Now, ISIS is a pan-Islamic group, terrorist group. And so, you know, all the stands are pretty pan-Islamic already, I suppose. But as I said, the CIA and the Western intelligence has their claws in radical Islam, sometimes unwittingly, as far as the terrorists are concerned, they're doing it for Allah or whatever their ideology is, but who's pushing the ideology? Well, that's the same thing here with school shooters, is that who's pushing the violence, really? Who's pulling the strings? Russia arrests four Moscow suspects in Moscow attack as death toll climbs to 133. As Islamic State claimed responsibility, Vladimir Putin vowed to identify and punish those responsible and tried to implicate Ukraine. The Islamic State has taken responsibility for the brutal assault in three different messages since Friday, but Mr. Putin, in his first public remarks on the tragedy, more than 19 hours after the attack, made no mention of the extremist group or the identities of the perpetrators, broadly blaming international terrorism, which it is, while Russian state media quickly began laying the groundwork to suggest that Ukraine and its Western backers were responsible. Why is that so far-fetched? It's not. The Russian leader did take a swipe at Ukraine, saying that the suspects were apprehended while traveling to the Russian border, where he alleged a crossing was being prepared for them on their Ukrainian side. Yeah, why is that not plausible? It's plausible to me. That just seemed, it doesn't seem like these people, four people, put together, or what, their Islamic handlers from Tajikistan? How did they get in to Ukraine? I mean, how did they get into Russia, into Moscow? It would be, it completely, this has Western intelligence fingerprints all over it. It seems very unlikely that ISIS or ISIS-K or whatever is responsible for anything that is claimed by ISIS-K. To me, might as well be claimed by the CIA. There's no way. And the timing is suspect. Why didn't ISIS do that right after Russia wiped out most of ISIS in Syria? Why didn't they do it shortly after them? That would prove motive. But there's no motive here except for helping the Ukrainians in the war, or the West or NATO in the war in Ukraine. Moving to other headlines. What do you do if a violence breaks out on your train or bus? Public transportation is not necessarily more dangerous than other settings. Yes, it is. But there are some ways that experts recommend that you get out of a risky situation. And they say choosing where to sit and other pointers. And the fact here is that New York, and particularly New York City, isn't apprehending crazy people and criminals and aren't doing anything about these people messing up the security situation on the streets of New York City and in the subways there. So they give you all these pointers on how to stay safe when really they should just be keeping violent and mentally disturbed people behind bars and off the streets, and particularly off public transportation, but they're not taking the blame. They're just saying that it's your fault because you chose to sit in the wrong car, or what have you. Not really fair whatsoever. Moving on to other New York headlines. A New York bill seeks to reduce natural gas use. Here's what you need to know. Legislators and activists are rallying to squeeze the NH Heat Act into the state budget by April 1st. The bill gaining traction in Albany aims to break New Yorkers' reliance on natural gas in hopes that they will seek out greener alternatives. Well, that doesn't sound very fun. In this article by Hillary Howard, efforts to shoehorn the NH or the New York Heat Act into a PAC state budget are underway, with supporters contending that the swift action is necessary because of the pressures of climate change And opponents say the proposed law should set aside and more carefully considered. The deadline is finalized, the budget on April 1st. What did they say? Ridiculous. You know, first they banned gas stoves, now they're banning natural gas, period. Hochul is an authoritarian, and so are most of the left Democrat governors. And that's why I said, beware of authoritarianism as being brought about through technology and or climate change excuses. So get over it. None of these things warrant such drastic changes in the way our economy works and the way we live. Besides, fossil fuels provide cheap energy. So if you take away cheap energy, only the expensive people will be able to use energy. Moving on to other headlines, Abbott's army on the border, is it working? In an area that last year was the epicenter of unauthorized, now it's unauthorized migration along the southern border, not illegal immigration. Far fewer migrants have been crossing. Mr. Abbott has cited the slowdown as evidence that that the aggressive attempt to push the boundaries of immigration law and his $10 billion program to harden the state's borders with Mexico using National Guard troops, razor wire, helicopters, boats, and floating buoys in the Rio Grande has been working. And I don't see why it hasn't. It seems like it's working good. And they have the right to secure the border. The Supreme Court even said so. Other headlines, led by its youth, U.S. sinks in World Happiness Report for the first time since the World Happiness Report was issued in 2012. The United States has not ranked among the world's top 20 happiest countries. The drop was driven by people under 30. And who says so? People under 30. Not surprising, because there's no future for people. You are mortgaging their future out for paying for things today, especially with the crushing debt, and the debt service is up towards nearly $1 trillion a year. How is that going to affect the future of young people? Not to mention inflation, and the fact is these are the first few generations that haven't been able to do better than their parents had. Sherrod Brown, they changed the headline here on a couple. It was Ohio senator faces an uphill race, and they changed the headline to Sherrod Brown, who is the Ohio senator, embarks on the race of his life. Ohio will almost certainly go for Donald Trump this November. The Democrat senator will need to defy gravity of the presidential contest to win the fourth term, and they spend the whole article basically pumping up Sherrod Brown, who sucks. And so down further in the article, they write, yet Republicans are supremely confident for a much simpler reason, political gravity. In March polling, Mr. Trump leads Mr. Biden in Ohio by as few as 9 percentage points and as many as 18. Wow. Mr. Brown will most likely run ahead of Mr. Biden in the state, Republicans say, but not enough to win. We have an opportunity now to retire the old commie, referring to Sherrod Brown. Mr. Marino, his opponent, who has just won the primary, said, proclaimed at his victory party on Tuesday, referring to Mr. Brown. Yep. A quiet Maine county braces for the eclipse. Where are 20,000 people going to pee? This, again, are pagans. It's the black sun worship. If you go to worship an eclipse and you think it's marvelous for any reason, you are part of the pagans who worship black sun iconography. This is not something people should be delving in. I don't care if you're a secularist. This is where the trouble began back in ancient times, where people were enamored or awestruck about. And that's the only reason I put it in here, is for the pagan reference. In other headlines, inside Republican attacks on electric vehicles. A political war over electric vehicles is fueled by an incendiary mix of issues, technological change, the future of oil and gas industry, which the climate people want to get rid of, concerns about competition from China, an American love of the motorized muscle, and in rural reaches of America where few public charging stations exist, the notion of an all-electric vehicle feels fanciful. Another element of to the urban-rural divide that underlies the nation's polarization, Mr. Biden's opponent, Trump, has for months escalated attacks on electric vehicles broadly, and the new regulation particularly falsely calling the rule a ban on gasoline-powered cars, well, sort of it is, and claiming electric cars will kill America's auto industry. He called them an assassination of jobs. I don't know. You think it's an assassination of jobs? I think it's assassination of jobs. They don't work, especially in colder climes. What are you going to, you know, you only have range of 50 miles? I mean, come on. It just doesn't make sense. I'm not saying there isn't a place for electric vehicles or electric Uber or driverless Ubers or whatever, but like I said, the authoritarian is coming, and it's coming through technology. I mean, the authoritarianism is here, but they're going to use it to shoehorn technology into your life, and the authoritarianism is going to piggyback on that. So moving into the opinion pages, when it comes to politics, are any of us really thinking for ourselves? In this opinion piece by Neil Gross, between 2016 and 2020, for example, white Americans without college degrees favored the Republican Party by nearly 24 percentage points. Of course, Neil Gross has to put that in there to make Republicans look stupid. And then he goes there again. Although there are certain people who politics defy generalization, are there certainly people? Of course there are. Because it's not generalizations or generalizations. The underlying demographic tendencies are powerful predictors of belief, powerful enough that elections have become much more of a turnout game as an exercise in persuasion. A turnout of ballots, really. But it raises a more important question: if our political views or behavior can be so easily predicted by characteristics like race, over which we have no control, or by other factors like education, where our choices may be highly constrained by other things such as social class or of our parents, then when it comes to politics, are any of us really thinking for ourselves? No, we're not. You don't realize the nudge and the mind control, the influence, the influencing that media does over you, whether you admit to it or not. The fact is, you are being mind controlled for many different reasons. And usually what they do is it's easier to mind control groups who think alike than it is to have to mind control each individual person. The article goes on to say, many on the left interpret the political tendencies of white voters without a college education as evidence that the Republican Party's core constituency is ill-informed or even unintelligent. Is that right? Fuck you for saying so. But who else would fall for the lies of Donald Trump? Oh, the lies of Donald Trump. Not the truths, but the lies. Republicans, for their part, regularly invoke the idea of liberal groupthink, which they do, using it to make a sense of how some of America's ostensibly brightest minds could champion simplistic, unworkable policies like defunding the police and even fiscal policies that don't work because there's no money tree. So the more you spend, the more inflation you create, it undermines the dollar. So any of you Keynesians out there, it doesn't work. All it does is undermine the policy because you have to keep borrowing more money to pay for your debt service and all your bloated programs. Other opinion pieces, there's one here by Ross Do That. The public bath, the bloodbath battle and the electric car war. And we went into this briefly with Biden pushing electric vehicles. And he goes on to say, first, you had the zeal with the president's campaign latched onto Trump's comments at the Ohio rally about the bloodbath and would supposedly follow Biden's reelection. In context, the term bloodbath definitely referred to a predicted collapse of the U.S. auto industry if Biden gets another term, and arguably predicted some form of general chaos or disaster, but it was immediately elevated and interpreted by Biden or his social media ghostwriter as proof that Trump wants another January 6th. Then, just as the great bloodbath debate began dying down, Biden's EPA announced sweeping new emissions rules intended to accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles, taking their sales from around 8% of the U.S. market today to 56% in 2032. Oh my God, that sounds like a disaster. And you can't, the problem is, the reason they want electric vehicles is they're controllable. Not surprising whatsoever. They just want to control you. That took, was that half an hour? That took me a little longer. That's it for me today. I tried to make it quick since I got the podcast up late today. But thank you for joining me. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, share the podcast. Thank you for joining. I think that's it for today. So I will see everyone tomorrow.
Google me, bitch! Google me!
Rudy's revelation.
Big man, I said. You're the big man, I said. You're the big man, I think.